Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, April 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Long ago, it was the 80s, which to me doesn't seem that long ago, but I'm assured by my kids that it was ancient history. There was this Capital Region band named Blotto, and their song, I Want to Be a Lifeguard, became a hit. Was one of the earliest videos ever played on MTV. The band is the subject of a new documentary film from Rob Lichter. Hello, my name is Blotto, the movie. It premieres at the Cohoes Music Hall Saturday. Today we'll be joined by some of the Blotto boys to talk about the film, reminisce about the old days, and generally crack wise. Give us a call if you want to talk to Blotto. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. If you have any brain cells left, we can reminisce. 800-348-2551. Blotto after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. When MTV signed on the air, well, the cable, August 1st, 1981, one of the videos played on the network's first day was by an Albany band called Blotto. The karaoke version of that song, I Want to Be a Lifeguard, is playing right now. Those of us who were around in those days will remember most of the words, so you can go ahead and sing along a little bit. Blotto was a band that made it big-ish, experiencing national success in the 80s through touring, record sales, radio airplay, music videos. The band is the subject of a very cool new documentary from Rob Lichter, Hello, My Name is Blotto, the movie. And it premieres at the Cohoes Music Hall on Saturday. Today we're joined by Bowtie Blotto, who also goes by the name Paul Jossman, and Lee Harvey Blotto, who you may recognize from the Vox Pop copyright forum. He's Paul Rapp. He's got a day job. Give us a call at 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 if you want to stroll down memory lane a little bit. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. In a moment, we'll be joined also by the producer of that film, Rob Lichter. Fellas, welcome to the show. Welcome to Studio A.
Hey.
Hey.
Always good. Nice to be in Studio A.
Isn't it nice?
With my friend Ray.
Well, it's great to have you here.
Actually, your name now is Uncle Grumpy Blotto.
Uncle
We're
Grumpy
bestowing
Blotto.
You know, Uncle G.
I've heard Uncle Grumpy a little too much in the last couple of weeks. I got to be honest with you. But welcome aboard. The movie's really cool, and we'll talk about some of those old times in a minute. Well, Paul, I've never met you. You want to go by Bowtie? You want to go by Paul?
Well, since the other guy is Paul.
All right.
Maybe you should call us by our...
Lee Harvey and Bowtie.
Bowtie, that's right. There we go.
Well, great to have you here, and let's bring in the producer of this film. He's on line one, Zach. Forgot to tell you about this. This was all very late. He's not going to be on for the whole show, so don't pay. Look at that. He's slack-jawed there for a minute. Just bring him on up. Rob Lichter, how are you down on the island, my friend? Oh, I got to bring him on. Okay, let's try it again. Hello, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
So before we start talking to the musicians here, how do you, and I understand you're known as Bert Blotto, how did you fall into this musical world, and what possessed you to do this film?
Oh, okay. Well, short version is that I was working with Bill Polchinski on Long Island. He was a local TV show host for a variety show, and I was working behind the scenes doing a tape operator for a cable company. And at one point, I found a Blotto tape and wondered why it was there. They told me it was because, well, Bill used to play guitar in Blotto, and I lost my mind for a little bit and struck up a conversation with him. And just every time he came in, he would tell me more stories about Blotto. And that continued until I finally actually met the rest of the band up in Albany. And I've been going up to Albany from Long Island for years at this point, seeing them in concert and other events that they've been involved in, which has been great. And yeah, just all those years hearing the stories and hanging out with the guys who are just great storytellers and a lot of fun. I started compiling all their stuff and trying to figure out what to do with it. and had an idea for a documentary dozens of years ago, and nothing ever came of it. And then when Sarge died, it kind of gave me the kick in the butt to actually do something about it. So I buckled down and gathered them all together as often as they were available and interviewed for hours and hours and hours and pulled it down to a mere 100 minutes, and that's what we got here.
Bowtie and Lee Harvey, how tedious was it to be interviewed for hours and hours?
We got to talk about ourselves.
Do you like
that? Yes. You know.
What is more beautiful than the sound of your own voice talking about yourself?
Ah, well, I see.
Okay. But actually, it was really a lot of fun when we got the three of us together. There was a lot of chemistry, and we were, you know, remembering things. And, you know, somebody would talk about some event, and then Lee Harvey would fill in some more details, or Broadway would come up with something. And it was really quite fun.
The movie is really quite something, Rob. And, you know, I can't believe you archived all these interviews going back 20, 25 years and finally put it together. How did it feel to finally be done?
Oh, God. I still don't feel like I'm done. I feel like I stopped, but I don't feel like it's done. Daunting is not quite the right word, but it's, you know, it's like trying to put together a puzzle where all the pieces are just squares. So, like, anything can go anywhere, you know what I mean? There's no right or wrong. It's just whatever you feel like, which is unnerving sometimes because you put something together and it works, but is it right? I don't know. So, you know, I try showing it to other people and try to gauge reactions and, you know, take some notes from the band and others and formed it into what I think everybody agreed was a viewable piece of
art. Don't say anything bad. Hey, Rob, we're going to let you go in a couple minutes here, but the movie, Hello, My Name is Blotto, the movie premieres on Saturday at Cohoes Music Hall. Are you going to be there for that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wouldn't miss it for the world. Looking forward to it.
That's going to be great. Hey, man, thanks a lot for joining us here.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Take it easy. The number here is 800-348-2551 if you want to be on the show, too. Yeah, Lee Harvey, what do you got?
What do I got?
You were going to say something.
No, I just yelled out art when he said a piece of what?
Oh,
said,
piece of art.
Art.
You know, the old days. Back in the old days. Mm-hmm. Take us back to the beginning because you don't know this, but the Altamont Fair, I'm a lad. I saw the Star Spangled Washboard Band in action.
Whoa.
And you guys were just sitting as you walked in, I believe, at the gate. I'm like, who are these weirdos? I mean, I was 13, 14 years old, I think.
I was probably the same age. I was not in the Star Spangled Washboard Band.
What year was that?
Take it, Bowtie.
The Star Spangled Washboard Band started in this area in 1971 and played full-time until 1978. And the original members of that band were me. I was Bowtie Johnson back then. Sarge Blotto, who was called Wild Bill Hayes. And then the first guitar player was Steve Davies, but then he was replaced by Bill Pulchinski, who back then
was supposed to be with us today.
He was called Broadway Harris back then.
Don't forget Don.
Oh, and Don Dworkin was he was the first bass player.
That's right, Don Dworkin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little stylistically different from what became Blotto. How did that happen?
Well, that band was very theatrical and funny. If you'd seen the band, the instrumentation was different. It was more of like a kind of a country bluegrass kind of thing. But we actually had long protracted skits that we did, and long kind of set comedy pieces and so forth, along with the songs, and you know, that kind of ran out of steam in 78, and we decided, you know, we wanted to still play, so we got together and we're just jamming up in the Saratoga, and, you know, we picked up, you know, Lee Harvey as a drummer and so forth, and we kept, we didn't do as much, like, overt comedy bits, but we still kept the comedy in the act because it was just our natural way of doing things.
I'm glad you brought up comedy. Go ahead.
I saw the very last official Star Spangled Washboard Band gig at the Hullabaloo It was, I think, 1978.
Well, the old hullabaloo. Oh,
and,
boy.
You know, and to me, I mean, you know, to hear them say it, they were burned out, they were tired, they were quitting. I mean, they were as fresh and funny as anything I had ever seen. I was just totally enamored with them. And then, you know, some months later, I'm starting to play in punk bands in Albany. One of the guys in the band, Bill Rella, known as Max Media, also had been telling us he'd been playing saxophone with Blotto and was talking about how much fun it was. Calls me like on a Thursday night. He's going, Blotto can't find their drummer for tomorrow night. Are you available? And I'm like, well, I am, but you know, I've never seen the band. And I, you know, he goes, you'll know all the songs. You'll know all the songs better than them. You know, because it was mostly like '60s, weird '60s stuff.
Yeah.
And so I had, he said, but you have to have a Blotto name. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I was working for the Public Service Commission at the time. I was a state worker. And so I wrote down a bunch of possible Blotto names and put it on a circulating memo around the office and asked people to vote. I said, I have to play with this weird band tonight. What name should I use? And Lee Harvey Blotto was the unanimous choice.
Really?
Of the Office of Research of the Department of Public Service. And so
you
that
had odder colleagues than I do right now. It's amazing.
So that night I, you know, I drove to Saratoga with my drums and the rest
is history. Well, there's so much to talk about, and the arc of what happened to you guys and what you made happen is quite amazing. From the Now Tones to MTV favorites, it's Blotto today. Hello. My name is Blotto. The movie premieres at the Cohoes Music Hall on Saturday. Bowtie is here. Lee Harvey Blotto's here. We'll be back in a moment.
Strange sensations coming over me. Something I can't explain. Suddenly there's an endless void where I used to keep my brain. I gotta see a doctor, but I'm too wasted to phone one. Wanna customize my van, and I don't even own one. Ah, something makes me lose control.
Head. That's another favorite from Blotto. We're joined today by Bowtie Blotto, also known as Paul Jossman, and Lee Harvey Blotto, also known as Paul Rapp. You may know Paul from the Copyright Forum here. It's a special edition of Vox Pop. We have Hello, My Name is Blotto, the movie premiering at the Cohoes Music Hall on Saturday. From what I'm told, it's near sellout, so it's going to be a packed house. It should be a fun show.
Yeah, last I checked the tickets, there was like 20 left, something like that.
Yeah, just a few seats in the balcony.
Let me ask you a question. When you see this footage of yourselves all those years ago, 30-plus years ago, does it kind of make you a little wistful and say, what happened all the time?
It reminds you why you actually did it, right? Because it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, as time goes on, you start to have second thoughts and think, what the heck was I doing? But, you know, we loved playing together. We enjoyed each other's company, mostly.
It's tough in a band.
Yeah.
There are always those moments.
You're spending a lot of time with people and traveling, and your lives are very intertwined. But, when you're traveling and touring and that, it's the 2 hours on stage that really make the whole day.
Yeah.
And that's really the reason to do it.
That's kind of the way I feel about this. When I'm on the air, that's the fun part.
Yes.
The rest of the day, not so much. 800-348-2551 if you want to talk rock and roll with Bowtie and Lee Harvey Blotto today. So let's talk quickly about the arc. And this is all well covered in the film. But You're playing clubs. A lot of people played clubs. There were a lot of great Albany bands in the late 70s and early 80s, and it was a pretty happening scene. I'm a little biased because I was around then. But at some point, you took the next step. When did you know you were going to, okay, we might have something here?
I think it was, you know, in like April of 1980, the first record came out in February on Valentine's Day in 1980. And then 2 months later, I was in New York City driving around with my girlfriend at late on a Friday night, lost, you know, and we're driving around listening to WNEW, which was the legendary rock and roll station. They broke the Ramones, they broke REM, they broke all these people. And they're playing 52 Girls by the B-52s. And I'm driving along and I looked at my girlfriend and said, geez, I want to be a lifeguard. It would sound great after this, wouldn't it? And she's going, yeah, it would. And it did.
Isn't that weird?
It came on. And I'm like screaming. I'm like Waverly Place in New York City. I'm looking around an apartment building, seeing lights on, going, they could be hearing us right now. It was that life-changing thing. And I had to drive to the nearest phone booth and call these guys, collect, because I didn't, and going, hey, we're getting played on WNEW. It's like everything is going to change.
So you had
now.
No idea it was going to happen?
No.
So did you have a publicist?
No.
That might have hastened the whole thing a little bit, right?
Vin Scalzo was a fan of the Star Spangled Washboard Band, who'd been out to see them, some years before. And, we mailed him a copy. We mailed everybody a copy. And because we had 1,000 copies of this vinyl, and we're going to, we're not going to sell these, so let's send them, to radio stations. And he told us that he, saw it on his desk, loved the graphic, figured out who we were, played like the first minute of it, and just took it off and took it to the control room. And I think Meg Griffin or somebody was on the air.
She's still on the air, by the way.
Yeah, she's still
on. She's on Sirius.
Yeah. And said, we're going to play this song till it's a hit. I mean, it's like...
Isn't that amazing?
It was like Coal Miner's Daughter, It's like, because this was a homegrown record, and we packed and sent them out ourselves. We had a little assembly line. And it was like that.
What happens with radio, like nobody wants to play your record if nobody else is playing it.
Yep.
Then somebody plays it. Then everybody else like wants to get on it then.
Yeah.
So it picked up, it got picked up in... LAR and BIB in Long Island and New Jersey. And then we got a radio promo man, Joel Weber, to help us. And so we started getting, airplay all over the country. And it happened very, very quickly.
It's an amazing story. I mean, you were packing the house here. But I wanted to, before the break, I said I want to pick up on humor just a little bit. So many of your songs, we heard Metalhead, which is a lot of this stuff is great music, and it's also funny. And it strikes me that it's a tough sell when you're funny and you're also good. How do you take that next step?
I mean, we continued doing it, just doing what we did. And the record companies would say a variant of, we love you guys, you're our favorite band, but we have no idea what to do with you. We had A&R people from major labels saying, I don't want to sign you because they won't know what to do with you.
Yeah.
You're better off on your own. And we had people say, well, funny doesn't sell. Zappa's never really sold any songs. The Tubes didn't sell any albums till they had a top 40 hit, which was not a funny song.
Right. Some said, oh, they sold out. Yeah. They're not funny anymore.
Exactly.
And so there's that. It was difficult. If we'd come along a few years later when there was more cable TV stuff and we could have done, we were talking to people about doing like a television show. It was going to be My Breakfast with Blotto was one of the ideas where it would be like, My Dinner with Andre, except it was with us. And,
you don't know about this one? Bow tie.
I don't remember that, but I'm sure it happened.
We had movie scripts thrown at us and stuff, but none of it ever came to fruition. So we were just left being a music band. But it was tough being funny. And sometimes being funny, you're so concentrating on the humor, you're not really paying attention to the music that much.
Well, I got to tell you, when I was getting ready for this show, I listened to some live. There's quite a bit of live material out there now.
Yeah.
You guys are pretty good, man. You guys are pretty good. Let's grab one call here, and then I want to talk about that MTV moment. We are joined today by Bowtie Blotto and Lee Harvey Blotto, the movie. Hello, my name is Blotto, the movie. It premieres on Saturday at the Cohoes Music Hall. Let's go to Hudson and Henry. You're on.
Well, first of all, Ray, you're an amazing man. I've always wanted to have a reason to call, and Blotto is the greatest reason I can imagine.
So cool. Well, welcome.
Yeah, welcome. And 1979, 1980, I was at Casa Verde in Albany, and I was a member of Blotto for a trip to New Jersey. My name was Tremendous, Tremendous Blotto. You guys might remember. I was a roadie for you guys.
Oh, cool.
Cheese Blotto and all that. It was, what a trip, man.
That's awesome.
Here's the question. Is Blanche Blotto going to be there? Is she around?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a very successful opera director.
Of course, that follows.
In fact, I've seen some of her operas. I saw one at Glimmerglass that was mind-blowing. I mean, there was an Elvis impersonator. There were nuns doing the wave.
In an opera. You sure this wasn't a fever dream?
It was postmodern pop culture, but That's it was weird, an old, man. You know, an opera from the 1700s. Ah. Just brilliant. But yeah, she's going to be there. She'll be down for this.
Yeah, and also Chevrolet Blotto, who was also a member for about a year.
Yeah,
he's also going to be present.
Awesome.
Broadway? How about Broadway?
Broadway will be there.
Unbelievable. I don't know if you guys remember those days, 79 over at Casa. Deborah Tenenbaum, God bless her soul, was around.
Henry that had the cider truck?
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Is this Henry from Party Motors?
Yes.
It's old home week all of a sudden.
Yes, no, Henry.
That's you.
I know who you are, Henry.
We stayed at your place in New York, right?
That's exactly right.
Yes.
I love you guys. I think I'm dreaming. I think I'm talking to a phone and nobody's on the other end. And my friends are looking at me like I'm crazy. But I hope to make it there, you guys. I love you. Ray, you're awesome, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for calling.
Oh, Henry, it's been years.
All right, hey, have fun and enjoy that show, and thanks for calling. 800-348-2551.
Henry.
So you guys are... remember now.
Oh, he's a great guy.
It's funny watching old guys have the little light bulbs go off. Oh, now I remember that person.
Oh, he's a great guy.
I do it every day.
Henry used to be the maitre d' in the clubhouse at the Flat Track in Saratoga.
No way.
He was arguably the most powerful person in Saratoga because he would seat you in the clubhouse. And Cheese and I would go, and he'd just put us trackside and bring us champagne. And we'd like...
Well, that's a nice deal.
This doesn't suck. This is great.
It's nice to be rock stars. We're joined today by Bowtie Blotto and Lee Harvey Blotto from the band Blotto, who was, if you're not originally from around here or you weren't here in the late 70s and early 80s and mid 80s, you may not know these guys, but they were a big deal. Then there was the day, 81, when you hit MTV. How did that happen?
Well, Lifeguard was doing well, and we were touring. We had our second record out, Across and Down, and it was like early in the spring of 1981, and these two guys came up to us. I think it was at across the street at JB Scott's, where we had many of our best gigs, right here. And they said, "We're in media studies at SUNY, and we need to do a project, and we'd like to make a little movie based on I Want to Be a Lifeguard." And we're like, okay, how much is it going to cost? And they said, nothing. It's a student. We're good. So we blocked the whole thing out. We're down in front of Bittner's Travel, Lower Central, down at 4th Central. We're over in New Scotland somewhere carrying a couch up. And then we're on the Million Dollar Beach in Lake George. Over a 3-week period, we shot all this stuff. And then they showed us the video, and we thought, well, that's cute. And they got an A in their class. And
perfect.
We thought, well, that's okay. That's next.
That's done now, yeah.
Yeah, and then they called us in June and said some of our friends just got hired by this new company in New York called Music Television, and we don't know what it's like, but they've asked us, could they take a copy of I Want to Be a Lifeguard of the video? And we're like, sure. It didn't cost us anything. And so down it went. And then on August 1st, when MTV started, we were the 36th video right in between Iron Maiden's Wrathchild and Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy. You
know, on that one day, Blotto was the 36th most important band in the world.
Amazing. You know, there was at least one music video show prior to MTV that I remember, Video Concert Hall, and they would relentlessly play Iggy Pop from the New Values album. I'm only 5'1". And there were a handful of videos. But, I mean, this was a new thing, and it was pretty amazing. Of course, you couldn't see it on this side of the river, as I recall, when it first came out.
I had to go to friends. East Greenbush had MTV, and I'd go to a friend's house at East Greenbush and sit there for hours.
Waiting for it.
But MTV, I mean, that was national. It was on cable, right? But it was still national exposure.
Yeah.
And we had the Lifeguard video on there. We had Metalhead video on there, and You Can't Fire Me, I Quit. So that gave us tremendous exposure.
Mike writes in, hello now, Tones. Quick question. Can you guys talk about the major label record interest you got? Mike says, I remember reading there were offers. Can you talk about the decision not to pursue them?
Yeah, we first got, right off the bat, we got a singles offer in the UK on Sire.
That's good.
For I Want to Be a Lifeguard. And if it hit the top 20, then they'd give us an album deal. And we're like, you know, we're getting all this airplay here. We can do better. I mean, being on Sire would have been, but on the same.
Didn't the Units also blow off a deal
on Sire?
Oh, no.
The Units were on, was it Factory, which was a...
No, I thought that they had an offer and then regretted not taking that offer. Maybe I got the story wrong.
The label they were on was associated with IRS, which was the police's label.
Yeah.
But they were on it. They were on it. So, you know, we weren't... We turned that down because we thought, you know, at that point it was 1980 and Lifeguard was all over the place. We thought something better would come along. And then we got another offer. I mean, we got a number of offers with no advance, with a recording budget, and...
Which you had to pay back.
Yeah, which you have to pay back and no guarantees of promotion and all that. And we're like, you know, we'd already done so much by ourselves that, you know, we just didn't want to give it away.
I think, you know, we had a lot of success on our own. And that's kind of an anomaly. But, you know, we were... kind of going back to square zero with these guys, and they weren't really, like, to me, seeming to really want to back us.
We're joined today by Bowtie Blotto and Lee Harvey Blotto. The film Hello, My Name is Blotto, the movie, premieres at the Cohoes Music Hall on Saturday. Okay, so you guys seem pretty savvy the way you describe it now. You're old now. You were young then. How did you have that sort of sense that, okay, this is not a deal? Most bands would be like, okay, you're not giving me any money, but you'll record me. I'm in.
I remember the guys from CBS came to see us, and they wanted us. We were recording Combo Akimbo, a full-length album, our first full-length album.
Yeah, which I love.
And we really, you know, we wanted to do an album. We'd done two EPs and a single. And they wanted to do another EP, a four-song EP. And you know, I'm like, well, EPs kind of suck. You know, you put it on, you know, you sit down next to your girlfriend, and two songs later, you got to get up and turn it over again. You know, and they're not doing well in the marketplace.
In fairness, was there a lot of action going on when they were playing Blotto records?
No.
I mean,
no, there wasn't.
It's not Barry White, right?
But I remember he said, well, you know, Bow Wow Wow is doing fine with their EP. And one of us said, I think topping out at 168 is not great. And they just kind of stopped and looked at us because we were reading Billboard
sure.
magazine at the time.
Charts, yeah.
So, you know, somebody goes, well, 168, really? You know,
wow.
and they just, their eyes got really wide and they kind of went away.
How far up the charts did you guys get with Lifeguard?
We don't know. I mean, at the time, I don't even know if we're keeping track of how many we sold. I mean, they were all coming out of my kitchen, you know, taking boxes to the post office and sending them out. So we don't know. Somebody told us once that Combo Akimbo hit, you know, like 210, but I never verified that.
That's a terrific record. Tim writes in, great to hear all the great things you're doing. I had your music video in the 80s. I think I got it from my sister, and we would play that thing over and over and over. We knew the song by heart, me and my little brother. We were probably 6 and 8 at the time, and then it got lost to time, and I never knew what the band's name was or anything till the advent of the modern-day internet and YouTube. Found you guys again. Showed it to my brother, and he was like, no way. Anyways, small part of my childhood, but great stuff. Glad you're still doing awesome things. And that's from Tim. Thank you, Tim. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Bob in New Paltz. Bob, you're on.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
Bob from New Paltz here.
Right.
Former Albany, Saratoga resident. And I just wanted to say, when I was a youngster, just starting out making music, heard I Want to Be a Lifeguard and found out that, oh, wow, this was made by people in my backyard. And what an inspiration it was as a young kid just starting to make music, knowing that, wow, we have, you know, people who are making records, getting on MTV and, you know, having a career in music. And it was just such an inspiration. You know, I had a few semi-successful bands in my time in Albany. I still am involved in music. I teach at the university at New Paltz, and actually went to St. Rose. I think I knew you there, Ray.
Oh, briefly. I'll be darned.
But
are
I
old.
Want to say, you know, yes, I'm an old fart. But I just wanted to say, you know, you guys really were an inspiration, not just musically, but in terms of, hey, you know, you can be in a band and do things, and you don't have to be Genesis or Van Halen or David Bowie or something to do it. And, you know, I'm so glad that you guys are still creative, still doing things, and I'm looking forward to seeing the movie.
Great. Well, thanks, Bob.
Thank you very much for that.
You know, you know what's funny with bands? There's a lot of emphasis on, like, having big success and recognition and so forth. But people play in bands mainly because that's what they want to do and have fun and hang out with their friends and they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you talk to some of the, even these guys in these big bands, I met a lot of them backstage and so forth, they didn't start out, you know, with these big plans. You know, they wanted to, like, you know, go out and play gigs.
Right. And make a little change on the side. There are some dives, though. I mean, you guys must have played in. You ever hear that Zappa song, America Drinks and Goes Home?
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
just strikes. Anybody who's ever played a gig in a seedy club can relate to that one.
Oh, yeah. You're in the dressing room, and you take off your shoes and then stand on your shoes and your stocking feet because the carpet is soaked.
I mean, you know, yeah, the back room at Blotto. I mean, at Bogart's in the old days. The most disgusting 12x12 space in the entire world.
I had played there many times and would never go in the dressing
room.
I would just hang
out. We actually went in the dressing room back in the old days. All right, let's take a quick break here. It's 800-348-2. And let me tell you, I still have the scars. 800-348-2551. Hello, my name is Blotto. The movie premieres Saturday. We'll be back. Some pretty good drumming there, Paul Rapp. You guys use a click track when you recorded that?
No.
Oh, pretty
no,
nice.
We didn't. I think we used a click track on some later stuff, but it was totally distracting. And some of our songs, I mean, you can hear some of the early stuff, the tempo. I could have benefited from practicing with a click track. But other songs, like Goodbye, Mr. Bond, It helps them to speed up or slow down just a little bit.
I agree with you, you know? Wholeheartedly. If it has an organic arc, and that's what's so nice about some of the live recordings. That you, how many are out there of you guys? A lot of
I
them.
I think there's four or five. There's one more coming that from Live at the Chance in Poughkeepsie, which is going to be astounding because that was a recording we did for the BBC Rock Hour.
Okay, so the audio is spectacular.
The audio is going to be, recording quality.
Yeah, I think our recordings were generally, like you said, kind of organic. You know, there wasn't a lot of fancy pants stuff.
No, but on Goodbye, Mr. Bond, I'll have you know that the keyboard was played by Rob Sabino, whose birthday it was just the other day, who was the keyboardist with Chic.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's always one of my favorite Blotto tunes. We're joined today by Paul Jossman, who is known as Bowtie Blotto, and then another Paul, who's Lee Harvey Blotto. And the movie is Hello, My Name is Blotto. It premieres Saturday at the Cohoes Music Hall. It's a documentary about their rise and their... It wasn't really a fall. You guys just sort of stopped, right?
Right. We stopped playing full-time, and we played, halftime after that. I mean, it sort of wound down, but we never really stopped playing until Greg died.
Yeah. I mean, what happened was in 1984, there was a federal law where the drinking age had to go to 21 everywhere.
Yeah.
Or you'd lose all your federal funds. And when that happened, the drinking age went to 21. The bottom fell out. The college gigs disappeared. The big club gigs, you know, on a weeknight would disappear because there weren't any knuckleheads, you know. There weren't the 18 to 21 year old knuckleheads who could go drink all night and then get up and go to work the next day.
Right.
And so that hurt. I mean, that broke up a lot of bands and it closed a ton of clubs.
So interesting. Let's take some calls here. It's Bowtie Blotto and Lee Harvey Blotto. 800-348-2551. George is in Albany. George.
Here it is. Ray.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Hey. What's going on? I've been an Albany boy, geez, for a long time.
Okay.
And you might remember me. I used to own a gas station on the corner of Larkin Madison.
Yes, we know who you are. You gave us a plaque or a key.
I gave you the key to the...
Yes.
It was requested because Jerry Jennings wanted, on Blotto Day, wanted to present you with a key to the... City.
Right. Yes,
and I got on stage and after Jerry introduced me and I offered you the key to the, well, let's say it rhymes with city.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And it was Blotto Day. And I've just been a big fan of yours. And I'm just fantastic. You've got this documentary coming out. I can't wait to see it. I just wanted to call and remind you that your old-time fans are still out here.
Thank you. We remember you well. We remember that well, really. No, we talk about it to this day.
George, thank you for the call. Let's go to Tucson. Ted, you're in Tucson.
I am in Tucson.
Go ahead, man.
Yes. Okay, here's my question. So after the premiere, does this mean that maybe you'll go out on the road as all three original members of Blotto, hire maybe Burton Cummings or somebody like that to do the vocals?
Well, we'd have to. There were five members of Blotto, and we would, even though there's three of us still around, we'd have to hire five young guys to do whole thing. We'd just sit in armchairs and smile.
All three original members of Blotto.
So you guys could too.
I like it. That's right. Start
Good
a franchise.
Saturday night, fellas.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Matt writes in, what is your favorite memories of playing the baseball stadium in Syracuse?
I don't believe we played the baseball stadium. We played the Manly Fieldhouse.
In Q's, it says? I assume that means Syracuse.
In Q's.
Yeah.
Is there even a baseball stadium in Syracuse?
Well, they got a minor league
Must
park.
Must be minor. I don't remember that, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All right.
Memories of the 80s can be kind of...
Boy, isn't that the truth? Yes,
baseball so stadium in Syracuse. We played the big field house as like a dance marathon thing. That was a big show. But You know, we played the Jabberwocky a couple of times.
Yeah.
One of our live recordings is from the Jab, but a baseball stadium.
How far afield did you guys get on tour?
I think the farthest west we got was Kansas.
Yeah, on the Blue Oyster Cult tour, we went out and played all around the Midwest.
Well, you know, while we have a minute, and it's covered in the movie, how did you fall in with Blue Oyster Cult? I mean, this is amazing.
We had made Metalhead. We had demoed it at MCE Studios in Schenectady, and we were down in this bigger studio in White Plains and getting ready to start recording Metalhead. And there was a knock on the door, and in walks Buck Dharma, the guitar player.
Yeah.
And who I'd met briefly, but I recognized him because I was a big BOC fan. And I went and looked. I said, "You're Buck Dharma." And he looks at our road cases, and he goes, "You're Blotto." And I'm going, "I know." And he goes, "You know, I Want to Be a Lifeguard's my second favorite song of all time." And I'm like, "Well, what's your first song?" And he goes, "Come On Down to My Boat, Baby, by Every Mother's Son."
Nice.
And so we're like, well, you know, he was checking out the studio because he was doing a solo album. We played him the demo of Metalhead, and he's just laughing and laughing. He goes, "Oh, man, oh, this is great." And we're going, "We're sorry about stealing the riff." He goes, "Stealing what riff?" I said, "The whole riff is stolen from your song, Cities on Flame." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, we stole that from Black Sabbath."
Yeah, there you go. So, so he's on the record.
So, yeah, and he said, "Could I produce this for you guys?" And we went, "Only if you play the solo." And he's going, "Done." And so that's how that happened.
I took some of my daughters to see Blue Oyster Cult at a live show in Albany, mm-hmm. I don't know, 3-4 years ago. He's still good.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. He's one of the most lyrical guitar players. I'm one of the nicest guys.
It was fun playing these shows because, like, in the Midwest, these protesters would come out claiming that they were,
Satanic.
Yeah.
Right, and passing out these flyers and stuff like that. It was really crazy.
These were the Edwin Meese days, eh? The Attorney General, yes. Ed Meese. All right, let's go back to the phones here while we have time. We're joined today by Bowtie Blotto and Lee Harvey Blotto. The movie premieres on Saturday at the Cohoes Music Hall. Rob Lichter was on earlier. Nice talking to him. Let's go to Blaze in Saratoga.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
My question is, I was a little young going to the clubs, but I was well aware of Blotto and where you were playing, thanks to Metroland Magazine. But why didn't, maybe I missed listening to wrong radio stations, but why didn't local radios glom onto you guys and play the heck out of you?
Well,
QBK.
Hmm?
QBK, yeah.
Yeah, QBK was on us from the first day on. I mean, we were friends with the entire staff. I mean, we were drinking buddies at 288 Lark, you know, we knew them all, and they played it like crazy, but, you know, and the college radio stations certainly played it a lot. But the rest of the stations were corporate stations and were getting playlists, you know, sent to them from corporate headquarters, and there just wasn't room. You know, we might be on the Sunday night local show.
Right.
You know.
Boy, I tell you, the old days of Q104, though, there was very few better radio stations than that one.
That like created musical literacy for an entire generation of people in Albany. I mean,
Lynn
Bramer,
God rest his soul.
Walter, Ellen, Peggy,
Captain Wally,
Mark. Yeah. I mean, all of them.
It was awesome. Radio was really was great.
That was a cool time because you could hear The Clash and then Root Boy Slim and then just anything.
Anything, yeah. Exactly.
Eck writes in, I wonder if I'm the only person who's played on stage with all three of you, Graf, Rapp, and Jossman. There you go. Lucky you, Mike, and good to hear from you. Let's go to Saratoga. Charlie, you're on.
Hi, Charlie. I opened the Empire State Plaza Convention Center and the Egg, and George Kindler was my sound engineer. And he kept bringing you guys up.
Yeah.
Do you remember George?
George Kindler. I went to college with George Kindler.
He produced produced and mixed our first record with Art Snay at Arabellum Studios.
And he was our first sound man. He was on the road with us for the first, I guess, for 1980 or so.
Yeah.
He was a good friend. Actually, I think he even helped us back in the Washboard Band days, too.
There you go.
But I said, we went to college together at RPI many years before.
George Kindler was unusual. He lived in a loft just down the street from here where he would drive his van into a big elevator, and the elevator would go up, and it would be in his loft.
Huh. Yeah.
And he would just get out of his van.
He'd work on his car.
And be home, yeah.
Amazing.
But George Kindler, what a great guy.
Yeah, and one other thing, Broadway and I worked at the Empire State Youth Theater back in, briefly in 78, 79. You must have been down there at that time, too.
I was. I opened Egg and Pat Snyder with the Youth Theater.
Yep, yep, exactly.
Hmm. And I grew up with Larry Barnett.
QBK. Hey, man, thanks for the call. Let's go to Ned in Rutland, Vermont. Ned, you're on with Bow Tie and Lee Harvey.
Hello, Bow Tie and Lee Harvey. I want to know if you guys remember playing at the Chance on a very snowy night when you played Red Rubber Ball. Tore us to secrecy that we would never tell anyone that we heard you play that song.
You were there. There was one night with an ice storm, and I think we did a medley of Ringo songs.
Oh, beautiful.
We'd never played before, didn't know the words to. Yeah. And I think at one point we just invited everybody up on stage while we were playing.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a way you were trying to keep us off the roads because nothing was plowed, and we would have killed ourselves trying to get home. Oh, so you just kept going.
That was a special gig. You were there. That's great.
And we swore you to secrecy, and now you come on radio and blast it out to thousands of listeners.
I like that song.
I figure 45 years later, I can blast away.
Fair enough.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call. You guys have to play. Okay, we have a few minutes left. What's the craziest gig? Now, that sounded pretty crazy. The Old Chance was an amazing place. Saw Stevie Ray Vaughan there very early on, and it was nuts. What was the craziest gig, the craziest thing that happened at a gig?
The first Harvest of Music Festival was ridiculous. That was Hugh Carey's big statewide festival at the Empire State Plaza. It was late October. It was cold. I think the headliner was Helen Reddy. Leonard Bernstein was there. The style, all these New York City, the Manhattans. I mean, this all-day thing, and they added us on late because, they'd had the schedule set, but we had gotten so big, they put us on after the fireworks.
Oh.
And we're like, we're going to be playing exit music, because Helen Reddy's going to play then the fireworks. And just before Helen Reddy came on, Hugh Carey was there with a glass of wine that he had been working on all day. Hugh was in his cups. Governor Hugh Carey.
Nice.
And he's going, well, now we're going to have Helen Reddy and then the fireworks. And then he looks down at his clipboard and he goes, and then Blotto. And like 80,000 people just erupted.
Neat.
And he looks and he says on mic to his assistant next to him, who the hell's Blotto?
That's funny.
Show business. You got to love it.
Helen Reddy opened for you, though, right?
Yeah.
There
Delta
you go.
Dawn and whatnot.
There
I mean,
you go.
Yeah.
But, it wasn't the most fun gig because it was in front of 80,000 people. And we were just, I was horrified.
80,000 at the.
Yeah. It was wall-to-wall
people.
The
Empire State Plaza?
We were on the steps of the museum facing the Capitol.
Like, people were all the way back, the plaza, like all the way back to the.
What year was that?
1980.
I might have been there.
October, honestly,
I have no recollection of this. I couldn't imagine going to a Helen Reddy show, but it's quite possible. I mean, there wasn't that much to do.
Our Halloween shows, it got pretty crazy, too. And I think Greg Bell will this is in the documentary. But we did a costume contest. Best costume, worst costume, and least costume.
No.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
No, you can't do that anymore. But Greg Bell got up and took off all of his clothes and won the leash costume.
Greg Bell, the promoter.
A free spirit indeed,
yes,
he was.
He's presenting the film on Saturday.
Oh, is
actually.
He really?
Yeah, yes, he is.
Wow.
So
I haven't seen him in 30 years.
He's the promoter of the show.
Really?
Yes.
Yep.
I'll tell him I said hello.
All the shows at J.B. Scott's were great. I mean, they were some of the best shows we did. The shows at the Chance as well. We played the Chance in Poughkeepsie over 50 times.
Yeah.
Over a
great
four-year
club,
period.
The upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was a lovely club. And those gigs were always great, too. And the Chance is where we did the live parts of the Metalhead video. the life parts of Lifeguard were done across the street at J.B. Scott's.
I mean, the original J.B.'s was the best. I saw Buddy Rich there, NRBQ, and local,
now,
like
I just want to go back into, because the Washburn Band preceded Blotto, and just one gig of note, which is in the documentary.
Yeah.
We played the Mike Douglas Show twice, and one time when we were on there, we played with Phyllis Diller, and I kissed Phyllis Diller on the Mike Douglas Show while we were performing the song Ukulele Lady.
So the one...
it's in the movie.
The one guy brought up Red Rubber Ball, and you thought that was bad, and you just brought that up. So, whatever, okay.
Whatever, hey, you know.
All right, so,
You can bleep it out if you want.
We're about out of time here. The movie is My Name is Blotto, the movie. It premieres at the Cohoes Music Hall on Saturday. Heck of a lot of fun there, Bo Tie and Lee Harvey. I'm glad you guys made it to the show.
Thanks for having us on. I'm glad I didn't have to talk about copyright law for once.
No, just for once. It's so dry, isn't
this
it?
This is a ball.
Hey, have a great time Saturday night. And, you know, we'll probably see you the next movie. So we'll all be dead by then. Support comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, working to help people conserve farmland and forests in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve working land for good forever. agstewardship.org. At Albany Pro Musica, presenting Broadway Pro Musica, classic and contemporary Broadway acts with guest Jamari Johnson-Williams. April 26th at 7:30 p.m. at The Egg, albanypromusica.org. Once again, thanks to Bo Tie and Lee Harvey. Sorry Broadway couldn't make it today. Some people are just too big of stars. They want to blow off the local stations. I understand. The movie is Blotto the Movie. Hello, my name is Blotto the Movie. It premieres at the Cohoes Music Hall on Saturday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks to Zach the Engineer. Phone screened by Andrea Leong. I'm Ray Graff. It's a little change of gears. Tomorrow it's a science forum. We'll see you at 2.